From the break, I'm happy to pick up from here. So my name is Fabio, and on behalf of Eric, I'm going to present this work named The Effect of the Shape of Extreme Waves on the Loads on a 50 MW Wind Turbine. And let's just jump straight into it. The shape of the waves patterns, right? So if you're on the beach and you're actually observing two waves with the same height coming towards you, but they have a pretty different shape, well, you may already imagine which one of the two you should be most afraid of. Well, and then this especially matters for computing extreme loads on offshore structures. So here you can see a wave slamming on a monopile in the Hornsdale 1 wind farm. And this problem is particularly difficult to address numerically because you have a stochastic behavior of the waves, so not two waves are alike. And also you have a quite complex physics, right? You have wave nonlinearity on top of wave slamming. So how to model loads accurately? That's a good question. We could start with the approach suggested by the standards. So they suggest, okay, you can actually model this by embedding a single large nonlinear wave with a prescribed height. And then you cut and paste the stream function wave here in the middle of your time series with a height of 1.86 HS. And then you kind of assume that, you know, you hope that the maximum load will arise here. But of course, not all extreme waves are symmetric and nice as this one. So for example, some background, a different approach is to calculate the wave which is most likely to generate a certain force peak. This is quite simple to do if you have a linear process. So we know that the most likely realization of a force peak is actually the autocorrelation of the spectrum, and that's what you see in red here. And then it's easy to back compute the wave that is likely to generate this force profile. You can add on top of that the second order contribution, and here you get the new force model presented in this very conference in 2017. It's a very nice model. It allows you to get a closed form of these extreme waves, and it holds as far as you the first and second order theory works, right? If you want to go to slightly steeper waves, then you've got to move to something more complex. For example, in this other paper from Redmos and Gadirian in 2019, we have Ocean Wave 3D, which is a fully nonlinear potential flow solver, coupled with the first order reliability model. And then you're able to optimize the wave paddle sigma so that you get a realization of the force peak that is the closest to what was measured in the experiments. And already here you can see some non-symmetry arising in extreme waves. In this work, we're going to take this approach a bit further. So we're going to compute the whole distribution of wave and associated loads, still using nonlinear kinematics and the slender body force model. So we're going to get some statistics. And then you may understand that the larger force peak we get in these statistics, the lower will be the probability of observing that force peak, right? And then once we have been able to draw these statistics, then we can analyze some simple events. So single events, sorry. So if we are up here in the curve, then we are expected to get some kind of a nice force cycle, not that extreme, right? So smooth enough. But if we are down here in the tail of this distribution, well, then we may expect to get steeper waves and also more extreme force load cycles. And also slamming down there. So in our model, we're going to use some pre-computed fully nonlinear kinematics. And the reason for that is speed. We're not computing on the fly, but we're getting these waves from a database. And also, we're going to use an accurate load model with wave slamming. And we're going to address three main questions. So how well can we reproduce some measured loads statistics that include slamming? How do the extreme load waves look when you also include slamming? And then we're going to try to apply it in a design context on a wind turbine. Something about the wave kinematics model. The WISC database is an online database of nonlinear wave kinematics hosted on this website. If you scan this QR code, it will take you there. So take a look. It's free. You can download it and use it for your computations. We generated it through this fully nonlinear potential flow solver named Ocean Wave 3D. We have designed a very long domain, 25 kilometers, with a bearing depth. And then we send different sea states here in the green part, let them evolve through the domain, and then sample the kinematics. And then we got 80,000 hours of simulated waves. A part of this has been validated against the risk experiments, not the part with the slamming that I'm going to do today, so that's new results. But then, of course, after the kinematic model, we also need a load model in order to translate the kinematics into loads. And then you may be familiar with the Morrison load model. We're going to use an extension of that is named the Rayleigh load model. And the difference is that we're going to use here the total acceleration. So including the convective term rather than the kinematic acceleration. This is an axial conversion, axial divergence term for the distributed force. There is also one more correction or one more additional force that takes into account, and this is a point force applied at the intersection between the cylinder and the free surface, and it takes into account the time-varying kinematic acceleration, kinetic energy of the fluid when the wetted length of the cylinder is changing. And now we also want to put on top of that some good slamming loads, right? So imagine we have a certain slamming event. Here is a CFD reproduction. And let's say that we get the impact pressure in one of the points, where it's likely to look something like this. And then, as you know, if we integrate the pressure on the cylinder surface area, then we can get the impact force. But now if we get the integral in time of those two signals, we get the impulses. So the pressure impulse and the force impulse. And they are also related by an integral on the surface. Why do we want to solve for the force impulse? Well, it turns out that it's a little bit better behaved. So two waves that look similar, they will have similar pressure impulse, but not necessarily a similar maximum impact force. For some simple domains, we can actually solve this for this pressure impulse analytically. So if you imagine your slamming wave as something like this, so one wedge sliding on top of another wedge of water with a constant with a zero velocity, then you can actually solve for this problem, and that's what Gadirian and Bradmos did in their paper. So if you can parameterize this problem like this, you can solve the Laplace equation for the pressure impulse, and then you can get a closed formulation to get these kind of plots. Right, and then we have also tried to validate this model coupled together with a fully nonlinear kinematic, and that's in the recent paper from 2023. So we have we got about 600 slamming events from some wave time tests from which we computed the force impulse. Then we reproduced these experiments with ocean wave 3D, and we fed some variables into this model in order to get a simulated force impulse. And then we did a comparison, and that's how it looks. So for example, for some 2D C states, so unidirectional, you can see that the histogram of the force impulses are almost in overall good agreement, although we see some more variability in the experiments. And the same we saw for the 3D C states. Then, of course, once you have the force impulse and you want to apply it on a load model, let's say on a elastic load model, you also want to transform it back to a force time series. So to do that, we actually assume that we could reproduce the slamming load cycle as a cosine with a cosine cube shape, and then we calibrated the maximum force and the period on the experiments. And then we could get a good agreement of the measured and simulated force times, slamming force time series, although we also expect a little bit more variability to arise from the experiment than from the model. Alright, so our model is now complete. We add this term, so we have this slamming load term that is going to be applied at the moment where you have the maximum slope of the wave in time. So on to answering our question. So how can we reproduce the measured loads that include the slamming? How well we can reproduce them? Again, I will leverage the risk experiments. It's an extensive data set of many C states. I have chosen two of these wave tank experiments, one at 33 meter depth and one at 20 meter depth, and they both are representative of 100-year storms in the North Sea. Here's the comparison for the first one of them, 33 meters. So I'd like to draw your attention here on the spectra of the force and of the free surface elevation, and you can see a quite good agreement except from here, but this is some local effects that are due to spurious wave in the experiments. If we check the exceedance probability plots, they are also in quite good agreement, and in the tail we get some variability. Every time you see a cross, you have to imagine a slamming event. So whenever you have a cross, you have a wave slamming on the structure. And you may ask yourself, does slamming matter? Well, it does. That's actually the difference between these two curves, between the dashed line and this line, is the additional contribution due to slamming. For what concerns the exceedance probability of the crest, you also have a quite good agreement, a little bit lower here in the tail, and that is also a bit to be expected, and that it comes from the way that we model breaking in the fully nonlinear potential flow solver. For the other tests, 20 meter depth, we get an even better agreement. And here you can see that the difference between the slam and non-slam forts, they are a little bit lower. So here slamming is a little bit less important, and it probably comes from the fact that the sea state is on average less steep. But how do the extreme load waves look when you also include the slamming loads? Well, to do that, we are going to use conditional averaging. So I'm going to explain to you how it works. So let's say that you have the extremes probability for the forts. Let's now select 10 events from the simulation and from the experiments with a 10 to the minus 2 probability. We can average those and normalize them, and then we get two normalized time series here, one for the simulation in green and one for the experiments. And we could see that they match quite well. But now we could also ask ourselves, what are the waves generating these loads? And then we have to go down to this plot. And then you can see the purple and the green markers. You can actually see that you can have a distribution of wave crest heights that generate the 10 to the minus 2 loads. So a little bit more frequent and a little bit less frequent. So height is not everything, right? That's how we started. And if we conditionally average also the wave profile, you can see a good agreement here. This is a reflected wave from the monopile that we cannot get in our model, but across the peak, the match is quite good. We can go down to a lower probability, so to a little bit more extreme waves. And there you start to see that the average force profile, they have this head that is normally typically indicating a slamming load contribution. When we conditionally average the waves, we see a good agreement here, a little bit less in the downward phase, and we think this is due to the fact that here it's a zone where we have heavy breaking. And you can already start to see that the waves that generate the largest load, they are a little bit leaning forward, so they are not really symmetric as these stream function waves. We can perhaps see it even better in the shallower depth here, where also the average profiles, they are quite similar between simulation and experiments, and here you can definitely see this non-symmetry. But then how could we use this model in a design context? Let's say that we have the IEA 50 megawatt wind turbine. In this case, I'm using a rigid model, so there is no flexibility in this computation, but it's straightforward to edit. For example, you can get a load time series and use a 1 or 2 degree of freedom model or even an elastic code. And then we got a scatter, a joint probability distribution of the HM0 and of the TP. And then for this study, I just selected some sea states on the 100-year return period line. Especially, I have selected 10 sea states. And here on the back, you can see all the pre-computed kinematics that we have in the database. It's the blue dots. So what I did, I just, for each one of the sea states, I got the computation that non-dimensionally was the closest. So we can apply the force model and obtain some time series of loads, right? So where is the force or moment largest, you may ask yourself? Well, for the maximum force, we get along, as we move along this contour line, we have this, we go in this direction, and the top force is around sea state 4 and 5, so the one with the largest HS, which is somehow expected. And the same happens for the moment. But then let's go inside one of these sea states and see how the waves look, and then we go inside sea state 4, so you can see up here where it lays. And we conditionally average the waves with a 10 to the minus 2 probability. And we can observe that this average shape, this is for the moment, not for the force, it has this kind of sharp profile, indicating also an influence of the slamming loads. And then if we conditionally average the shape of the waves leading to these loads, we get this plot here. Just for curiosity, I plotted on top the stream function wave, and you can see that it actually fits quite well, except for the front face that is a little bit steeper for our fully nonlinear simulations. But then if we go to the other situation where we had 10 to the minus 3, well, here they start to deviate quite dramatically. So non-symmetry is quite important for the waves generating the largest loads. And then if you actually get this stream function profile and use it to compute the force, we get this force profile. So there's quite some part missing up here, definitely due in part to the slamming. If you apply some standard methodologies to add a representative slamming on top of this, then we get up here, so a quite conservative force level. All right, this concludes my talk. So I hope I managed to answer the three questions, and we're going to recap here. So how well can we reproduce the measured loads that include the slamming? The overall agreement of the simulated and experimental extremes probabilities were quite good. The wave shapes were well captured, but we had more challenges in the tail of the distribution for the most extreme loads. And then how do the extreme load waves look when you also include slamming? We could see this typical head in the average force profile that is due to the slamming load, and also an increased front stiffness for the extreme loads with lower exceedance probabilities. Finally, we can utilize this in the design context, and we showed how moving along a control line with a 100-year return period C-states, the largest HS led to the largest load, and how, for lower exceedance probability, the average wave shape deviated more from the stream function wave. And also, not necessarily the largest wave would generate the largest load. Thank you very much for listening, and looking forward to your questions.